Olson.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no.
Live long and prosper.
They tried to sell Dimebag Darrell, but he got gunned down on stage.
This franchise is pennies.
You know,
hey, Mike is kind of a prick.
No, Mike is a nice guy. Tori, with two eyes, settle down. I used to talk about Mike Berardino, not Mike Zimmer. But Mike Zimmer had a good point. It's not Teddy's team. It's Ted's team.
Because people like to say salsa.
And I love salsa. And what we're doing is Pantera. That's 5 minutes alone by Pantera. And that's Dimebag Darrell playing the guitar, but he's dead now. And that's Phil Anselmo. Lead vocals.
The guy doing...
Yeah, he's a
the
great...
guy that sounds like this.
What if Lou Holtz sang just one song with Pantera?
Well, it would probably sound something like this.
Well, I don't get... They bring the ink cold.
I'd listen to that.
Or Pee Wee.
Hello! The question was... We're gonna break down these two quarterbacks. Are they hyped up? Are they?
Yes.
Are they way too hyped up? Are they way more? Are people making them? Okay, granted, they're probably the two best quarterbacks in this draft. But are they, in comparison to the quarterbacks that we've seen come back, come out in the past? Where do these guys rank? I mean, I think it's a weak quarterback class. Quite frankly, I mean, looking at last year's lineup, you had the supposed. You can't do anything wrong. Johnny Football. I mean, that's just a superstar in the making right there. Everyone wanted him. You had Derek Carr. You had our guy, Ted Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Blake went first overall. That's right.
No,
I forgot.
Three overall. He didn't go first overall, did he?
Yeah, he did.
First overall?
The hell if he didn't.
First overall.
Hell yes. He went first overall.
The hell were they thinking?
Well, that's who went first overall. Ted went 32. They had him after the last game at Louisville. They had him number one to be picked number one in the draft. Ted had to be traded for.
Blake Bortles went number three. I was right. Yes, he did. Jadeveon Clowney went number one.
Then I knew that. Robinson, I meant first quarterback.
Okay. Yes.
My bad. I thought he went first. I don't know why I thought that. I knew the Texans took Clowney too. But
the hell if he didn't.
He did. He was first quarterback taken. That's what I meant.
I don't think that the quarterbacks this year at all. I would touch with your hands, to be honest. It reminds me of the Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Christian Ponder.
Yes.
Same Jake Locker thing. Situation minus the
Tons
Cam Newton.
Tons of hype and no substance.
But the quarterback position is so hyped right now, and it is so, I mean,
it
obviously.
Was Jadeveon Clowney, wasn't it?
Yes, the face of your franchise and teams are, if you don't have a quarterback, trust me, the Minnesota Vikings didn't have a quarterback for a really long time, and we're always clamoring, always trying to find either that veteran they can bring in or that quarterback that they could draft, whether it be Tavares Jackson or Christian Ponder, now Ted Bridgewater. Everybody, if you don't have a quarterback, you're probably not going to win in the NFL. Very rarely does it happen. Obviously, it did with the Baltimore Ravens and Trent Dilfer. But very rarely does it happen if you win without a quarterback. Excuse me.
Agreed.
And you can go back and you can get one a little bit later, and that's not very likely either, where you have Tom Brady in the sixth round. You have a Russell Wilson going in the third round, and everybody called that pick a sham. Why would you draft Russell Wilson? You just paid...
The kid should have.
You just played Flynn, what's his nuts, a ton of money to be there in Seattle. Well...
$20 million.
Off he goes.
$20
million. You need a quarterback to win in the NFL, and that's why these teams want and are jockeying for this position, but I would... Jameis Winston, no thanks, because of the off-the-field issues. Marcus Mariota seems like a nice guy. I just don't think that he has the fire in his belly to go out and crush a team like you see Aaron Rodgers do it all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what it is about Mariota.
Why?
I mean, it's partly what you just said, but is there something else about that, too?
I'm
not going to blame it on that kind of offense or anything. What do they call it? The quack attack that Mariota ran?
That's cute. That's really cute.
Yeah. Well, I borrowed it.
That's really,
I wish I'd come up with it. I like that.
But seriously, when you're drafting a quarterback that high in the draft, you can set your franchise back. I mean, look what happened with the Vikings and Christian Ponder. Luckily, we fell into Ted Bridgewater, or we'd still be screwed.
I know it. I mean, look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, too. I mean, with Gabbert, I mean, Alex Smith was kind of a bust until he got to with Andy Reid with the Chiefs. He had one good season, and when he got injured, he never saw his job back again because Colin Kaepernick came in and made a splash. And for whatever reason, Harbaugh liked what he was seeing. And I mean, the kid almost came back and won that Super Bowl against the Ravens. But yeah, it's everything. I mean, the quarterback thing is everything. It's way too many interceptions. They showed a bunch on Mike Mayock had his
NFL Network
thing on last night, mm-hmm. and he was showing Winston with Rick Neuheisel, sort of breaking it down. He was a good quarterback at UCLA. Neuheisel was. He also was a very good coach at Washington, and they were breaking this thing down. And I mean, he throws the ball into double coverage all the time. He gets them picked off left and right. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Jameis Winston doing that. I don't think he's the guy. I think that Ted Bridgewater is better than both of those guys.
Absolutely he is, hands
easily.
Down.
I think so, easily.
Some scuttlebutt coming out of Chicago as we get closer to the NFL draft. Obviously, wall-to-wall coverage right here on Sports
Jim
Radio.
Jim Rich has done something. He's done something.
The Chargers tell Philip Rivers he will not be traded.
Well, I never thought that was going
to
happen.
So that means a possibility for Adrian Peterson. To the San Diego Chargers.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying they draft Melvin Gordon, and they hike him this way.
I still don't disagree with the fact, and I think that this could possibly happen. The Vikings draft Melvin Gordon at 11 or 13 or wherever they trade back. Mm. They have their running back, knowing that Adrian Peterson is going to be traded. That way, draft is pretty deep, especially you can get a guard in the second round. You can get a wide receiver at the end of the first. Same thing with the cornerback situation, linebacker. All that stuff. And the Eagles are doing all of that they can to try and trade up to number one overall with the Buccaneers, allegedly dangling first-round draft pick. And Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I've seen that too. But I thought they were looking at Mariota. But
well, they want the Eagles want Mariota.
Well, I thought you said they're number one.
They want the number one overall selection from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is what they're trying to work right now. Chip Kelly's saying, sources say Eagles offense can only be great with Marcus Mariota at quarterback.
Hmm. Well, the Bucs have Jameis Winston going. So, as you said.
But what happens if they trade the first overall pick with the Philadelphia Eagles, get Sam Bradford and a whole gaggle of other picks too, I'd imagine. Well,
I think it's amazing. I think this whole thing is going to be so cool. Like, I love it. I can't wait. It's so close now.
I've been waiting for this,
I am so excited about the first 10, 11, but those first 10 are going to jockey everything for the rest of the first round. Into a different position. I don't care. It's going to be a mess.
And something happened when the beginning of free agency, too, in the NFL. Something's happening because teams are on fire with drafting and trading and moving here and doing that, with this player's going here. And more activity than I've seen in the NFL in a long time.
This
and expecting it to just explode
it's
coming
crazy.
Up at 7 o'clock tonight.
This is going to be crazy. No question about it. It's going to be one of the more fun drafts I think I've been part of in a long, long time. And I've covered them ever since 93, even when I was still playing, and certainly ever since. Yeah. I'm 11 of 15 Viking first-round draft choices. I blew it on David Pollock. I messed that up. The Bengals got him instead. And I messed up, and then Leon Hall didn't work out because of that, too. Damn it. We're going to go to Chris Shad. He's going to talk to us about a lot of what we're talking about right now, and I just don't know if I agree with him. So I'll probably end up arguing, endlessly with Chris Shad about Doriel Green Beckham. We want him. That's why the Vikings need to draft.
No.
Oh, he's in for it. Dude, he's in for it. Hey, Chris, get
hot
ready
dogs.
For a fight. And hot dogs, too. Jackass.
105, the
people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play. But it could be a pass play.
Omaha, 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 Omaha,
we spent a lot of time with going through some of these guys that are potential character or problem guys that you have read about. We spent time with them here in Minnesota. We spent time with them out of campus. We want to make sure these guys that have potential character issues, if they're going to be a fit or not. And I feel very confident with our psychological team, Les Pico, and what he does in the process, and the time we spent with these players on if we feel comfortable bringing them into our situation or bringing them into our locker room or not. And we have a very good feel on who we would and wouldn't bring in.
That is actually the voice of Dick Spielberg regarding Les Pico, one of my friends down there with the Vikings, who is in charge of player programs and some of the psychological evaluation or character evaluations, talking about some of the problem children coming out in this year's draft.
So many, it
several,
seems like.
Several. Shane Ray. Now you got... a guy that
Jameis Winston going number one overall.
I mean, no
by the
question.
Way, you can't forget
he,
about
he
that.
Might be the biggest.
Randy Gregory
from Nebraska.
Marcus Peters, Dorial Green
Peters.
Beckham.
Oh, there. Wait, who'd you say?
Dorial Green Beckham.
We could really use a guy like that.
No.
Wait,
no.
Chris Shad's here to tell you why we need him.
No, Chris Shad, you're off your rocker. But tell us why you think that the Minnesota Vikings need to draft Dorial Green Beckham. Let me just remind you, Chris Shad. That
yeah,
first of
Shad.
All, you didn't bring any hot dogs again.
Yeah,
second of all,
that too.
I mean, Dorial Green Beckham, 6'6", physical freak, 4'4", 940, has all the tools. Oh, but he was arrested a couple of times for marijuana-related incidents and had that other time where he allegedly shoved a woman down a flight of stairs.
There's that.
I think a lot of teams are on red alert, actually, coming into the draft for character issues. You mentioned all the problem children coming into this draft, but really when you think about it, there's been problem children in years before that have just kind of gotten slipped under the radar because that's the way the NFL has operated. Last year was kind of the banner year for punishment for people who violate that sort of thing. And Dorial Green Beckham is a classic case of talent. You know, he's got the talent. He's scored 12 touchdowns in 14 games in his sophomore year at Missouri. He's going to score touchdowns. He would be a great red zone target for Teddy Bridgewater, who really doesn't have one because Kyle Rudolph can't stay healthy. And, at some point, talent outweighs any character issues, and teams are really willing to roll the dice.
No, I'd completely disagree, especially with what you mentioned last fall with the indictment for Adrian Peterson, the Greg Hardy situation, the Ray Rice and Ray McDonald. We go on and on and on. All I want is it's so wrong for me to want my Minnesota Viking players to be able to be on the field every single game, barring any injury. I don't want to hear any off-the-field stuff, any speed, any marijuana, any this, any that, any abuse, any domestic violence, any... I'm sick of it. The Minnesota Vikings, and aren't you sick of it, Chris? Aren't you up in arms? It seems like every month or every other week, the Minnesota Vikings during the season are in some sort of trouble. All I want is for the best people... the best character guys, the best leaders to be football players for my Minnesota Vikings, and I don't want to have to worry about their court cases.
And you're a case of Minnesota Knights, basically. Because, I mean, it's about winning football games, especially for a team that hasn't had success in winning the big games, mainly the Super Bowl. If they can go ahead and get a couple of wins, a couple of players that can really help this team, and Dorial Green Beckham's a guy that they can do that.
No.
Well, you know, I hate him because of the character issues. But, you know what? The kid, actually, I saw a long sort of a feature about him and him trying to rebound after being booted from Mizzou and living with the family that he has. It's not – I mean, he's adopted, basically, just like, kind of like the Michael Orr thing. Mm. And he you can tell that he is remorseful. There's no question, and that he's squandered a huge opportunity to finish his career at Mizzou the way he should have. He is an incredible talent. He's one of those physical mismatches that goes up and gets the ball, kind of like Megatron, not Megatron, but he's got that kind of body that he can go up and just be a physical mismatch to outreach someone with an alley-oop pass in the end zone. So I get what you're saying, Chris Shad, but I don't know. I just, some of these guys, I'm just saying, here's the old I don't know thing, because some men you just can't reach.
And I don't necessarily know about Doriel Green Beckham, but I mean, I'm going to put him right on that list. Randy Gregory tested positive for marijuana a couple of times while at Nebraska. So many times, actually, where they just said, you know, stop testing him. We need a field. He showed up to the combine, tested positive. Is he a great player? Was he on top of the Minnesota Vikings draft board? I really, honest to God, think so. Talent-wise, he may still be up there, but with those red flags that Rick Spielman talked about in the little clip that we played coming back into introducing you, Chris Schad, I just... With the NFL and the way the landscape has changed, do I think you're a bad person if you smoke a little weed? No. Is it against the rules of the NFL? And if you test positive and you become in the drug program, are you out 4 games, 8 games the rest of the season? Look what happened with Josh Gordon. All the talent in the world, seemed like a nice enough guy, was high or somehow got into a system, had drinking issues, I guess. And now he's not even playing. So that screws over the Cleveland Browns when they thought they had a pillar to build on. And then,
he was a hell of a receiver.
Yes, I don't want that anymore.
And that's just it. I mean, that you nailed it right there, because they are incredible players. I have no question
and
that
Doriel
Green
people.
Beckham. I'm sure that Beckham is probably, maybe he's learned a lesson, maybe he's good, but he's a liability still. The fact is, they're good players, but if they're on the bench, serving a suspension,
or not even allowed in the facility,
they're not going to be good players for you. They're just going to be sitting there collecting a check many times. Who knows? Commissioner's exempt list for a year. But I understand where you're coming from, though. Completely on the talent level, he's a freak.
First question, devil's advocate for you guys.
Okay.
So Randy Moss, did you cheer for Randy Moss?
Did I cheer for him? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you were a teammate of Randy Moss's, but I mean, Ben, this is more for Ben. Mm-hmm. Did you cheer for Randy Moss? Because Randy Moss got busted several times for marijuana. He pushed over a meter maid.
He did a lot of bad things
in Minnesota.
Well, that was...
It was a different NFL, Chris.
Every time he got an 80-yard bomb, you cheered for him.
Of course, it was a different NFL, and then I want to say the same exact thing for the indictment for Adrian Peterson. We talked about it all fall and all spring here. Once Adrian Peterson rips off a 60, 70, 80-yard touchdown run, fans are going to forget about all the animosity that they had with him and him being uneasy about coming back to Winter Park and playing with the Vikings. Because he wins, and winning heals a lot of things. But as soon as, boom, you're right back into it. I mean, look at Randy Gregory, Marcus Peters, and Doriel Green Beckham. All should be first-round talents. Some of them should be top-10 talents. They're amazing players and maybe the best at their position. They may be fantastic guys, but they've got these marks now, and they're all of a sudden into the league substance abuse policy, or the league has an eye on them, or, you know, they have these red flags. I just don't want that anymore. And the league has changed as of last year. I just don't want those football players on the Minnesota Vikings.
I see your concern with that. I just see it a different way. I think that if you have the opportunity to trap the guy that can change your franchise, if you can get him his head on straight, and it's not like, it's no offense to Wesley Fraser, but Fraser kind of lost control of his locker room. He let some of the bad heads kind of take over the Vikings locker room towards the end of his tenure. I don't think Mike Zimmer allows that stuff to go on. I think Zimmer can really get people to screw their heads on, and I think that, you know, if you do have a problem child, I think Mike Zimmer is going to do his best to kind of correct it. I mean, this is the guy who revived Adam Pac-Man Jones's career. I mean, he was making it rain in strip clubs, and ever since then, you haven't seen anything out of Adam Jones to even resemble the Pac-Man.
Yeah, I would say this. There are some teams that just do not put up with character issues. The Patriots, the Steelers, if they have a problem,
the
they get rid of
some character issues. Yeah, Corey Dillon and Randy Moss, but I get what you're saying. Once they come in, it all stops.
They have understandings with these people.
They had a guy that murdered a couple of people as their tight end, Aaron Hernandez, by the way.
Well, I'm sure if they'd known that, they wouldn't have assigned him to anything at all. I'm sure if they'd known about that, I'm sure they're glad he's not on the team anymore. But there are certain teams... And the league has changed quite a bit. It's not that we ever condoned it in the past, but it's come out more now. There's more of an awareness and the seriousness of what these guys do in their free time. So you don't want that. Green Bay is kind of squeaky clean when it comes to character. You hear nothing but football coming out of Green Bay.
That's what I want coming out of Winter Park.
You hear nothing but football coming out of Pittsburgh, most of the time Denver. Those are teams that just play ball. And it's because of ownership, and it's because of coaching. And that's exactly what I think we have with Zimmer, too, by the way. I really do believe that. But, I like what we've got in the way of receivers. if anything, one of those top three guys, okay, I'm good with that too. I mean, they are an outstanding class of wide receivers this time around. And three that I know we can get our hands on, one of them, if we really wanted to. Green, Beckham, why go for the guy that's got this kind of thing?
But Soup, you and I talk about this several times, and we talked about it already today. I would much rather not have to take a chance on a guy like that high in the draft.
Agreed.
Where it's so 50-50 on whether he's going to be a decent citizen or not. If he falls back beyond the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, then yeah, absolutely. I'm taking chances all day. But Lael Collins, who obviously isn't supposedly a suspect in the death of a pregnant woman, his former girlfriend right now, but wants to be questioned, is falling way down in the draft because teams just don't want to take that possibility. It's such an investment.
Year. Sure is the wrong year.
It's such an investment you make in these players, in these draft picks, and you're putting your hopes, you're putting all your eggs in these baskets of these young guys, hoping that they can continue to bring your franchise forward. It's a multi-billion dollar business.
There's several.
You just can't take these chances anymore.
It's an amazing thing. Just the TV rights that you're talking about. And that's why they have so much liability. The TV rights are a $1 billion business. The NFL properties and the things that fans buy just to go to the games, that's $1 billion. The gambling is $1 billion. Fantasy football is $1 billion. They're like $4 or $5 billion businesses generated by the NFL.
Yeah.
That are not really totally the NFL. So they got to really watch. I mean, they're trying to line one of these 32 teams up to go to a Super Bowl. You cannot have a guy that's not on the field for you. And Collins, whether he did anything or not, this could have been one of the greatest days, probably the greatest day in his entire life. For he and his entire family, not so much now. It's going to be a problem for that guy to find the first round. With what happened today.
Yeah.
So,
Chris, great article. We didn't mean to hammer you so hard. We're just starving to death. It's our hunger because we don't have any hot dogs. You promised to give us hot dogs the last couple of weeks, and we're dying to death. Chris Shad, 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha team. We love him to death. One of the friends of the show. His new article, Why the Vikings Need to Draft Dorial Green-Beckham. Who knows? Maybe they will. Honest to God, anything can possibly happen tonight.
To be honest, he's a freak.
Yeah.
The guy is a freak.
He's so talented.
He catches everything.
Yeah.
But...
And like I said, too, the Vikings need a red zone threat because Kyle Rudolph doesn't remain on the field either. So I'm not on board with taking him at 11. I think that if you go down later in the draft, you package some picks, maybe you get an extra one in Adrian Peterson trade, you know, he'd be a perfect guy to do that annual Rick Spielman trade up. But we'll see. It's Mary Draftmas, you know.
No question. Thank you for your time, Chad. And hot dogs. Or Chris, I'm sorry. I blew that one right. There's so many things going on here. I mean, Chris, please bring in hot dogs. That's all I was trying to say, okay?
I'm about to throw some on the grill. I'll see what I can do.
Get them on the grill and mail them to us, okay? Along with the blue ones.
Chad, we got to go because we got to go to Draft Central USA. Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press in Chicago. Best of luck. Skull Vikings, we'll talk to you later.
Enjoy the draft, guys.
You too,
bet.
My man.
You too. I can't wait. Can we just... We're done with the show. We're going home. Right? Put some music on. We're going home. Put some music on. Can we just put music on and roll like a loop of something for like the next 45 minutes? I got to go.
Sure.
I have to go.
Yeah. I got to go potty.
We're going to eat. I got to get the stuff on.
How about this? Bittersweet Symphony? This is a great song. People are going to love this.
Yeah. And just loop it.
Yeah. Perfect.
This is the Siberian Orchestra. What is this? Bye.
My bruise on my butt is almost gone.
Butt fumble.
They're not running right now. Brian Murphy's beautiful.
There's just a lot of moving parts, and it's happening a lot on draft day. You think about all these things as you go through the process, but then when draft day comes, you can go in with a plan, but you know, it's like game. Things happen and then you adjust and you move on the fly.
I'm going to say one thing. We have interns here to make sure that we get the people that we want on the air. And I'll be darned if 41 over here isn't acting like he's 42. And he's done.
He's acting like he's 72.
Look over here at me, 41. Look over here at me. Watch this now. You're fired. Unless you bring hot dogs tomorrow. Thumbs up. You got your job
Brian
back.
Murphy, a lot of stuff going on.
Things are going
Draft
on.
City,
I mean,
obviously.
We'll
talk
about
it.
Could be literally
show.
Anything.
Keep calling 41. How about this? 8 possibilities for the Minnesota Vikings at number 11, according to the Star Tribune. Just drafted. Yeah, or just they just put this up. Tell me your thoughts on this. Vic Beasley, Clemson.
He's outstanding. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go. I mean,
always
some people
in the
have some people
have.
Oh, he's a wrecker. He's an absolute wrecking ball. But I mean, people have him going all the way down into the 20s in the first round.
I mean,
some
he
people.
Was a top
I think you said
for a long time.
And you had someone.
Todd McShay and Mel Kiper together did a live draft, and he fell out of the first round altogether.
I don't know how that could possibly be.
I don't think so. He's too good. If he's there at number 11, I was yelling at you yesterday. It's funny because tomorrow, depending on what happens, if Trey Waynes is selected by the Vikings at number 11 or another place, I'm going to replay you selecting Trey Waynes in our mock draft yesterday. If it was Vic Beasley, it's going to be me saying, well, why not Vic Beasley?
What if your boy... Dick Springsteen.
I want him to trade back, no matter who's there.
If Beasley is there, if Trey Waynes is there, if Brandon Scherff is there,
Beasley,
and he trades down anyway and doesn't pick anyone in the 11th.
He probably will. He'll trade down.
With those three guys. He's sitting on those three guys.
Perfect.
They're still on the board.
Yeah. He's going to trade down at least one spot, two spots to grab them, I would imagine. That's what he does.
Spielberg...
To get more picks, more assets.
You know what he does? He's got trust built in from all the different GMs in football who will guarantee him, we're not going to take this, this, or this. We need this, this. He trails that all the way back as far as he can to get value and money lined up and still get the people he wants and then some.
Yeah.
It's trust. I mean, you have to be a pretty well-known guy to have that kind of thing going on in the NFL.
Joined now by Brian Murphy, live from Chicago and NFL Draft headquarters. Anything happened since the last time we talked to you? The Vikings traded Adrian Peterson. Have they moved back yet? It's all just the quiet before the storm, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it's just everybody's kind of taking their places here. It's sort of a quiet. It's becoming such a show now. Anyway, it's almost to the point where I think people are you can only exhaust so much, which is of course what the league loves. I mean, you know, never any shortage of debate. But I think we've reached maybe a tipping point, perhaps, on where we're. I think we're just looking for something to happen finally.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you on that. I mean, the hype has just become almost overwhelming for the NFL draft now. It's been like that for probably the last 10 years, but it has. You're right. I think it has escalated the last 3 or 4 years to a point where it's just unbelievable. Now we're talking about these two quarterbacks, Brian, at the top with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Like they're Dan Marino and John Elway coming out in 1983. I mean, but they're not. They aren't. I mean, but the hype would suggest that they are the best that's ever been seen, and you can't mess with them.
Well, what else do they, you know, here's the thing. One's got sort of a little bit of the pedigree of a gunslinger out in Oregon, and another one sort of always on the comeback from personal troubles. Those are narratives that we both love.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to play on that. And, you know, there's no position, there's no player, there's no better hope for a downtrodden franchise than the opportunity to draft the best one or the best two quarterbacks that are available. And of course, the landscape is littered with failures as well. I mean, we've had one at number 12, but there was also, of course, back in 98, you remember, it was, you know, basically a pick 'em, flip the coin.
It was Leaf and Manning.
Manning and Ryan Leaf, and we don't need to explain where that one went. So the stakes are incredibly high, and that also makes for such great drama that the fortunes of the Titans, the fortunes of the Buccaneers could literally turn in the next 3 hours.
It sure could. You're right.
Brian, you are super plugged in, and you're very smart. That's why we love having you on, a great friend of the show. Any idea where you think the Minnesota Vikings are going to go tonight? It's going to be a heck of a first round. I know you're pretty tapped in, you're tied in, you have a lot of sources trading back, how far back they would be interested in going, how many first round picks you think they may end up with, or who in fact they are targeting, or their small group of players they're targeting.
I think you look at the three, the receiver, Devontae Parker. I think you're looking at the quarterback, Trey Waynes, they're very high on. And if Scherff is there, I just don't think he will be. And I'm not sure they're going to try to trade up to get a guard. But if Scherff is there, I think they'd like to really solidify that left side. We've talked ad nauseum about that and what's at stake. So I think it would be something you'd see if he's still there, if Rick feels like he rarely moves up, he likes to move down, how tempting would it be for him to do that? I think the Vikings believe they might be able to, I think they think Waynes will fall to them, and they might be able to, he might even fall further within the top 15, or he might be able to trade back a couple of spots to get another pick as well.
But Brian, those are all the safe options. You know, Rick Spielman's not necessarily the safest of option type guys, especially the last three drafts where he've had multiple first round draft picks. He likes to move back, move around. He said himself many times he likes to have at least 10 picks in the draft. He was basically begging in his pre-draft press conference the other day to somebody to come up and try and take number 11 from him. So obviously it's unpredictable. You have no idea what's going to happen with the NFL draft. It's like a game, like you said. But my best guess is he's not staying at 11. So any of those three players at 11 are, I mean, just not even a possibility. He could trade back and still land Trey Waynes or grab a Vic Beasley or even maybe a Shaq Thompson at the end of the first round. There are so many different possibilities. All I know is it's just going to be exciting.
I just want to know where do we think the biggest priority is beyond the first pick? I mean, there's been debate about whether that is indeed a defensive back, is indeed a cornerback to match up with Xavier Rhodes, and maybe a physical guy that can kind of compete in the NFC North with those towering receivers. Is it shoring up the left side of the line? Is it maybe getting more help at the wide receiver spot? If indeed there is, you know, some traction with Peterson and a deal, how quickly do you have to fill that need? Is that a second round need? I think those are the intriguing storylines to me. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. What's the number two priority?
Number two for me would be the Peterson ordeal, because that plays out to be so much more than after that. If you get something really good for Peterson, if we finally find out what's going to happen with Peterson, I think that spells out a lot of what this team's makeup is going to be then thereafter, and what they will then do could be almost. I mean, you could really have a lot of options if you got something good for Adrian. And for me, if they did find Scherf in their lap at 11, I mean, I can't imagine that being much better scenario. And we've been talking about that too. If Waynes or Scherf or say Vic Beasley lands in your lap at 11, what is the priority if all three of those guys? I don't think two of the three will make it.
That's why back two, three spots, and then you the two of the three are going to be gone, obviously, yeah, and you yeah. follow with the third one if you're happy with all of them.
Yeah, but if you had three and you were sitting there, I think, gosh, I'm not so sure that you don't try and take care of Teddy. But, you know, I don't know. It's a crapshoot. I still think that in this conference, in this division, in the North, with the receivers we have, is to shore up that other side and get the cornerback and have some shutdown going in that on the backside of the defense. I really do. And let the pass rush with Everson Griffin and those guys get to the quarterback, and then those other guys press those receivers and put some defense out there.
I think you might also see a little bit more of an assertiveness perhaps from Mike Zimmer in the war room as well. I mean, you know, last year he'd only been here a couple of months. Not that he was a passive bystander, clearly not, but Norv Turner was driving the car to make sure they got Bridgewater.
Yep, yep.
I think you may see, you know, if they identify cornerback as primary need, I mean, that is really right in Zimmer's wheelhouse, and you could see him just trying to mold Trey. And I get a sense that he may be able to, you know, exert a little more influence if they're able to get to that point without having to move Peterson. And that is sort of the priority. I think you're going to see him put a stamp on it.
But then again, with the Mike Zimmer and the confidence that we all have in what he can do with secondary and cornerbacks, the draft in the first round particularly pretty deep in the cornerback position. So why take the first one if you're happier or with the length of another or the physical play of another or whatever? I mean, Mike Zimmer, like you just said, he can do whatever. He's a cornerback whisperer.
What do you think about Peters out of Washington?
Love him to death. If he didn't have any of the off the field issues, I would take him at number 11.
Physical, very very physical player. Just an just a prize fighter out there in the middle of the field. Wins a lot on a 50-50 jump ball. He's going to bring down most of those or defend it at least. He is dynamic.
Best cover man in the draft.
There are problem children.
Yes, indeed.
And then there are those that I think may be able to see the light, in a sense that it's one thing to scream at your coach in college, but if you're in the pros and you're about to get paid, and you're barking at your position coach or you're barking at your your head coach, I don't think, I think he would realize that he'd be shown the door pretty quickly.
You'd think so, but I mean, we've seen sillier scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what? I think it's going to be just a crapshoot, but I think Mike Zimmer wouldn't put up with anyone barking at him or his defensive coaches, that's for sure. I think he'd put a he'd nip that one pretty quick. Brian Murphy, we're going to have to nip this one, too. We've got a few more segments we've got to get to, but thank you for joining us for two of those segments, and we appreciate,
no problem.
We appreciate your
input.
Let's
check back in tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Some debriefing and maybe talk a little puck. I'll be over at United Center.
Nice. Fantastic, fantastic.
Oh, I gave Jim Rich your phone number, by the way. You might be getting a call from Jim Rich, old crusty Jim Rich.
Regarding what?
He wants to take you out to ice cream.
I think he wants to get you a donut and some coffee tomorrow morning.
He's a TV guy. He ought to be able to take me somewhere else, maybe Ditka's Steakhouse.
No, but honest to God, he may call you. He said he was interested in maybe you joining him on the TV at 6:30 tomorrow morning. So just be aware.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good luck.
Woo-wee. I'd break out the good suit for that one. We know you're good for him.
Skull Vikes. Brian, yeah, Skull Vikes.
Take it easy, guys.
Say it back.
I cannot and will not.
Well, you just won't do it. He's not going to do it. You can't program a guy like that to do that. We have some draft talk. Funny enough, we're going to take your calls, though, this time. Give us a call, 651-989-9105. We're going to talk about the draft. It's about ready to kick off, kids. I mean, you might want to get in here while it's good. Put your priorities out there with us. Who do you want? Who do you want the Vikings to get? And who is going to fall the farthest? That's the fun one to watch, too. Come on.
You're all idiots. You're all idiots.
Sorry about that.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about the listeners. We're just talking about pretty much the people that take the phone calls from the listeners.
Yeah. We got to get right to the phone calls, though, honest to God, because we're running out of time. We only have a half hour left, and the phones are just absolutely on fire. 651-989-9105 if you want to get in. Brian from Chaska, your thoughts on the Vikings draft tonight?
I still think we're going to pull off a trade during the draft with the Cowboys. They've put away $13 million for some unknown reason, and we've been playing nice about the whole tampering thing. We know that Jerry Jones and AP have talked. AP's still talking about playing for Dallas. He won't let it go. I can't let it go either. What do you think?
You know what? I'm not going to let go of it either. I really do think that you might be onto something, but I don't know why we would trade a player like that to Dallas. Not that I'm not willing to give him, 10,000 yards every year. I don't know if he's good for that anymore, but he's a damn good running back. And I can't imagine trading a player like Adrian Peterson to the Cowboys, I guess.
No, I completely agree, Brian, too. I don't want to help the Cowboys. They seem to be, one player away, kind of, especially on offense. Their running game, they're without DeMarco Murray, and they're one player away from being that dynasty team that basically has all superstars in almost every single position, barring Greg Hardy's 10-game suspension. Any team but the Cowboys, any team but the Packers, any team, obviously, hopefully, out on the AFC. But it's going to be an interesting night tonight, and there are going to be some explosions from the Vikings. I think your predictions are spot on, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I don't think he's that far off. I really don't. I for whatever reason, there was that $13 million adjustment on Romo's contract. We've had this conversation between the two, Jerry Jones, Peterson. It could very well happen. Who knows?
Let's go to Tony in Cambridge. Tony, you're on 105 The Ticket. What's up, Tony?
Well, I just want to chime in on the guys available. I think the offensive tackle would be, to me, the number one priority. And then cornerback, and then wide receiver and safety. But if the top guys in each of those areas is gone, then you kind of, if the top tackle is gone, then I would go with, getting the top guy that's a receiver instead of taking the second or third best tackle.
Let me ask you a question. Why are you looking at receiver? To me, that's curious because we do have a spot, we have a hole at guard. And you said tackle, but Scherf can play both, so I understand that. But
right, then that'd be my number one priority.
Okay, but then corner, and we've been talking about this all week, well, for the past couple months, about what this division brings to the table in terms of wide receivers and quarterbacks, and it's pretty formidable. Maybe the best division overall in football. But so having another cornerback, because I think Robinson is certainly a liability.
Huh. Captain Munnerlyn was a liability last year. You don't know what you're going to get out of 37, 38-year-old Terrence Newman back there. The safety position, right. You have Harrison Smith. The others are question marks, too. I mean, Anderson Dejo played pretty well. Robert Blanton played okay at times. But there are so many question marks back there. Yeah. And when you're going up against Matthew Stafford and Megatron, Calvin Johnson, you have Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers. Jay Cutler can get on fire at any time. He's got Martellus Bennett. He has Alshon Jeffrey and Forte. I mean, the offenses in the NFC North are scary.
It's unreal. So I ask again why you would not go with a cornerback but a wide receiver.
Yeah, he hung up.
He already hung up. Okay.
He didn't like what you had to
say. Let's move on then. Okay.
But I ask that same question all the time, too.
We got Mike Wallace.
We have Mike Wallace. We have Jarius Wright. Charles Johnson, who did pretty well last year.
I'm pretty happy with
that. Adam Thielen, like him. He's a player. I'm not saying that he's a number one wide receiver.
I like Thielen. And look, Patterson, apparently he says he's let his fan base down. He's coming back. He's going to be more serious. Let's hope that that is the case. He has a long ways to go.
He had an off-season workout program with a mentor, no matter who that, I'm really sure who that was. We're guessing that it was Troy Brown with the connections that Mike Zimmer has with Bill Parcells. And Norv Turner and Mike Zimmer seem to be happy with the progress that he made in the off-season. So
I would think with Mike Wallace, I would just think, come on, just kind of let that receiver thing sort of put that on the back burner.
I get the receiver deal. Third, fourth, fifth round guy.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Very deep in this draft, but not in the first round. My head against the wall against people that are saying we need a wide receiver at that number 11 pick. Just drives me nuts.
Who else do we have?
We got to take a break because we're running a little bit late, but then we'll come back. 651-989-9105. We're taking your calls, talking the Minnesota Vikings and the draft that starts here in about 25 minutes on Sports. Excuse you, Radio 105, The Ticket. Man, anywhere. I got to get out of here.
That's the starting gun. That was like a starter pistol. Sorry about that, man.
It's called Before the Storm, Superstar.
It is, man. You know, it's all going down out in Chicago, the Windy City. It's kind of blustery there. That's what the reports are anyway from our very own Brian Murphy and Jim Rich. It's a little bit cloudy. So I think it's kind of an omen, you know. It's kind of brewing up on that lakefront over there. This time, in the way of the NFL Draft 2015, we select number 11. And from what you and I know, Richard Spielberg is probably going to package something up and send the 11 somewhere.
Yeah. So who's the safest pick out of all the players? Out of the 32 players that we mocked yesterday, who is the safest pick that if it landed at the Minnesota Vikings, wherever they draft, the absolute safest pick?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's safe. He's a safe player to pick.
Who is the player with the biggest upside?
I love that question, too. You might come up with someone like a Vic Beasley on that one. You know what? I'm going to change that. Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
I think that he's a tackling machine. He won the Dick Butkus Award for
tackling.
That's
who I think the Vikings trade back to number 15, 16 and grab.
I mean, speed kills, especially defensive speed. So you put that kid where he was side by side with his old teammate, Anthony Barr, Chad Greenway. Are you speed? I mean, Greenway still rolls. He's still fast.
What do you say about Eric Flowers, the offensive tackle from Miami?
Love him. He's meaner than hell.
A left guard situation. You trade back and you can grab him at left guard. He would bring an edge.
He's mean.
He does have a mean streak.
I have watched a lot of film on that guy.
I love Byron Jones, the cornerback from Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I like him. I like, we all know that I like Trey Waynes. But Marcus Peters can stay home. I mean, he can go somewhere else. I don't want him. He's a thumper. You want to talk about a kid that'll come up and just smack you, just to smack your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's Peters' game. I just don't know if he's going to be out there every week.
Yeah.
He'll be one of those guys around town. And I hope he isn't. I hope he's learned his lesson and can just be a good pro and just figure things out for once. But we had a hothead here on this team a couple of years ago, Percy Harvin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great players. And that's what I liken him to. Marcus Peters probably going to be a lot like Percy Harvin. I mean, he just is good. He knows he's good. He knows that people have to have him, so he just acts out because he can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that kind of player.
No, and we'll talk about the second and third round and all that stuff tomorrow, obviously, because we're focusing on the first round. But Lael Collins, the rumor of him pulling out of the NFL draft, apparently not true. He is rumored to be wanting to, not a suspect, but the police down in Louisiana want to talk to him about the death of a former girlfriend. Who she was pregnant.
Yep.
Where would you take Lael Collins, who's, he's a good, pretty good football player.
No, he's a really, I looked at all the offensive linemen inside and out, had him on my iPad the last 3 or 4 weeks. And they were all over the TV, too. NFL Network, all night long. I literally watched sometimes until 2 in the morning. Starting at about 10:30. He's great. He's a great player. I mean, can he be a great pro? He's got all the tools. He certainly has some ability. I don't know. What would you do? I mean, if you got him and you found out later that he did have something to do with it. Like, screw maybe it. It wasn't him, but maybe he put a hit on.
Would you take him in the third, fourth round?
I don't think you touch him because it could come back and haunt you. If the guy's got to go away for a little while, I mean, I don't know.
Well, he's going to go away for a long time.
Or an accomplice to it. I mean, he doesn't have to have done the murder, but. Yeah.
Who is the player, and we're going to have to take a break before we wrap things up with Sillier Set of Sports and take you up right to the coverage, wall-to-wall coverage from CBS Sports Radio. You're right here on 105 The Ticket from the draft in Chicago. Who is the player that is starting to fall, and you're watching him fall down towards the end of the first round, that the Minnesota Vikings are just, he becomes ripe for the picking, and the Vikings love, Rick Spielman loves to go back in that first round and take somebody. Who's falling that they go up and take? That's one of those guys where you're like, God, we got to get him. He's falling.
Well, any of them are falling now. They're falling for a good reason, and it's because they're the problem.
Well,
Teddy Bridgewater
fell yet last year, though.
It's a good point, but not. We're seeing the players falling now this time around are ones that are they're Jicky Jacks is what they are, and they're slappies. So they're just that's what's going on. I don't know. I mean, Shane Ray's obviously. Supposedly very gifted. He's fallen off the charts almost. He was in the top 10 last week, the week before.
Would you rather the Minnesota Vikings stand pat with their second round pick or trade up to grab somebody in the second round? We haven't had a second round pick in a long time.
He's good at finding that value. One thing about Rick is that he's good about finding that value in the later rounds. Everyone talks first round. Rick tries to make it count each and every round. He's done a pretty good job for the last 3 years, at least, I would say. And that's where he's good. I'm going to give you my top five favorite prospects. Top five right here, right now. Scherf, Trey Waynes, Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
I love Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, one of the receivers then. Take your pick. I like Kevin White. I love Kevin White.
Wow.
Speed merchant. Anyway, great hands. Great hands.
Those
are my guys.
Yeah, they're all good. We'll wrap this thing up coming up next.
Yep.
Take you right to the top of the hour in the NFL draft live from Chicago.
Ooh, look out, kids.
Joined Radioactive
Sillier Side of Sports. Let's bring this baby home. Superstar Mike Morris. Just some things that are happening around the league, heading into the NFL draft. Wall-to-wall coverage right here on 105 The Ticket, Minnesota sports radio station. Chargers, according to sources, will not trade Phillip Rivers tonight. They are working on an extension to keep him with the San Diego Chargers. This just in, also, the Titans are not interested in Jay Cutler, despite what was recently this afternoon a big push for the Bears to try and trade for the number 2 overall pick for Jay Cutler so they could draft Marcus Mariota. That's not happening. The Bucs are reportedly committed to drafting Jameis Winston, number 1 overall, because they just decided that there's no real suitors for the number 1 overall pick. So that's what's going to happen. If you're watching people walk over the stage tonight to go give Roger Goodell a good old bear hug, keep an eye out for Dante Fowler. He's going to wear some bejeweled gold slippers at the NFL draft.
That's precious.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. You see those new shoes that they got made for Mariota?
Uh-huh.
So the Hawaiian version of a new Nike. They're launching it for Mariota.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me, when you look at it, it's very interesting.
Huh. Fans will be fans. They're not always going to agree with us, obviously, on the radio. And Ian Rappaport found that out. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Love him. One of my favorite reporters when it comes to the NFL. Took a pretty interesting bet with the Saints fan over Twitter, who didn't seem to think too much of his report about the Saints possibly drafting Baylor's Bryce Petty as the quarterback of the future. At Hoodat tweeted to Ian Rappaport, if the Saints take Bryce Petty, I will pay for you to fly to New Orleans and punch me right in the penis. Ian Rappaport said, save this tweet. This obviously, this particular fan, better hope that the Saints didn't really decide, don't really decide to take Petty, or he's going to need more than a bag of ice to numb the pain. And I just hope to see, I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I'd like to show up for that. Just for something to do, just a nut-kicking ceremony.
Jameis Winston, not going to be at the draft if he's the number one overall. I mean, whether he's the number one overall pick or not, he's not going to be at the draft tonight in Chicago. However, he made his own red carpet for himself at his house.
Did he? Okay. Well, did he steal it? Okay. Enough of that. Well, I'm sure he's serving crab legs at his house tonight.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
I got one in there.
The Wall Street Journal enlisted Grammarly. It's an automated proofreading company to check NFL fans' rants and found that Washington fans made an average of 16.5 mistakes per 100 words used. That means they're the worst in the NFL. The survey reviewed pulled about 150 comments from each team's website and reviewed those with at least 50 words long. Washington fans far and away the worst, scoring 30% higher than the fans of the New Orleans Saints, who were second. They were 12.5 mistakes per 100 words. The most skilled commentators were in Detroit. The Lions fans made just 4.2 mistakes per 100 words. This pains me. The Packers, second best, 5.1 mistakes. Eagles, 5.2. Jets, 5.6. Chargers, 5.7, rounded out the top five.
Do we have the number for the Vikings? Where'd we rank?
No, we don't. We don't even want to bring that up, okay?
Because we're dumb, right?
Let's just not bring that up. Russell Wilson.
I hope it wasn't bad.
Russell Wilson was on a flight back to Seattle, and he brought up a veteran into first class, paid for him to upgrade to first class.
Jeez. Is it just me, or do you find him as a very likable guy?
Love him.
I'm not shocked to hear him doing something like that. It just seems like something he would do. He's a pretty class kid. He really is, and he should already have two Super Bowl rings. But
great guy.
Malcolm Butler had something to say on that last play.
Yeah. So real quick, as we wrap up the show here, down to the nitty-gritty, Minnesota Vikings, I think they trade back from number 11.
I
think they grab Eric Hendricks, linebacker UCLA, then trade back in for a cornerback, probably Byron Jones from Connecticut.
That would be really good.
We'll have to wait and see what happens.
I kind of think he ends up with New England, but that might be how Spielberg trades up, maybe with New England. But anyway,
Chris Carter says Adrian Peterson will be traded tonight. He has inside information. We'll see what happens there.
I think he's going to play somewhere else next year.
That could definitely change all sorts of things. The Twins first pitch tonight at 7:00. They're starting a 4-game series with the White Sox. Make sure you join the superstar Mike Morris and me tomorrow out in the sunshine on the patio at the office. It's a great place to be. Great drink specials with Coors Light. Unbelievable food. Great people.
Good service.
Great
service. Beautiful back deck. Come on back and see us.
Come hang out with us.
On the patio.
For sure.
It's going to be a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah. So a busy day tomorrow. We'll check in with Jim Rich and Brian Murphy, both from Chicago. One covering the Minnesota Wild. The other covering the NFL draft. We have a representative, a nice lady. I believe her name is Tracy. We'll talk to her. She's a reporter for CSN from Chicago, covering the Blackhawks, taking Elizabeth Meineke's spot.
Oh, indeed.
We're also going to talk to Larry Brown, live from Las Vegas. He's covering...
He's a hell of a basketball coach.
Yeah, Larry Brown Sports, great website. Love it. I read it every single day. He's going to be covering the Manny Pacquiao fight, Floyd Mayweather fight. We'll talk to him.
I say Mayweather.
Yeah, but I want Pacquiao.
I want Pacquiao, too. I think Mayweather probably gets him. I think that Pacquiao would have had a lot more to say if it had been a couple years ago. I think he might have gotten past his prime.
Mike Tyson says Floyd Mayweather is a scared little man.
I saw that a couple times. I know that Mike Tyson knows what he's talking about.
But sometimes.
I think he's scared and he's shaking in his boots.
And the reason he said he was a scared little man because he doesn't take his own kids to school. Well, what celebrity takes their own kids to school? That's why he's a scared little man? I don't know. It just seems like there's a little bit of venom going on there.
Settle down, Mike.
Let's see here. There was a couple arrested for stealing $361 worth of bacon in Florida. That was pretty interesting.
I mean, can you blame them? I mean, bacon rules.
Deputies say the manager stopped this woman. She hit the manager in the neck, dropping pork ribs, two packs of detergent, and three water filters out of her pants.
Yeah, well, was she shopping with Jameis?
Yeah, then she ran out of the store and got into her accomplice's truck. Deputies apprehended them at a truck stop. Both were charged with grand theft and robbery. Deputies found ribeyes, ground beef, bacon, pork ribs, and a gallon of bleach in their car valued at $361.
Pork ribs, prime rib,
ribeyes,
yeah. And bleach.
Yeah.
Add to that some crab legs. You got a draft party, everyone.
Heck of a deal.
I mean, you never know.
Go Vikings, Minnesota Vikings. Wall-to-wall draft coverage starts here in just a couple of seconds.
Spielberg takes over.
Yeah, here we go.
Look out. Here let's he goes, kids. Let's get after this thing. We'll see you tomorrow then, okay? Down at the office. Army Command Sergeant Major Martin R. Benares, 49 years of age, from Tucson, Arizona, died May 13 in San Antonio Military Medical Center, Joint Base San Antonio, Texas. From wounds suffered May 6th. In Herat Province, Afghanistan, caused by enemy small arms fire. He was assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 5th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 1st Armored Division, Fort Bliss, Texas. Remember this man, 49 years of age, Army Command Sergeant Major Martin R. Barreras is my true superstar. Have a good time with the draft tonight.
I will stand my